I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Spoiler alert, everyone, because I've got some Olympics results at the Games in South Korea today. Japan soundly beat Korea in women's hockey 4-1. It is the third defeat for the only team that unites North and South Korean players. Reporter Jason Strother joins us from Seoul. So this wasn't unexpected, but it was the game in which the United Korea team did score their only goal so far. I know North Koreans in the stadium were really excited by that one goal, but let's face it, the match was a loss. How are South Koreans responding to this defeat?
You know, I was watching the game with only a few dozen spectators at a plaza in Seoul. The game was being televised on a big screen there. And, you know, I think everyone thought the team did as best as they could. No one expected the women's ice hockey team to do that well. They were ranked 22nd worldwide, even before the North Koreans joined the team. And I think despite some of the initial misgivings about the formation of this team, I think South Korea got over it. And one man who told me he's one of the very few true hockey fans in South Korea, Lee Sang-yoon, he told me that, you know, it was, you know, in the end, probably the right thing to do.
My initial reaction was like, what the hell is this? It's like, why we have to merge the team just like a month prior to the Olympics and not much preparation? And I mean, the players must be very upset. Because I thought, you know, politics should not be interfered with the game, the sports itself. But anyway, the decision was made and, you know, we have to accept it, move on.
There was one thing, Jason, that I was really trying to get my head around, still am, the fact that the United North South Korean team had its only goal scored by a South Korean who was born in the U.S. What were people saying about that?
Right. Well, Randy Hisu Griffin is not the only foreigner on the team. There's also a woman born in South Korea, but grew up as an adoptee in the U.S. Huh. And you also have to remember that the Korean men's team has several players on it that have no Korean ancestry, but became naturalized South Korean citizens so they could play for the men's ice hockey team.
What about other things that we're not thinking about in terms of how well the team was integrated, like in terms of language, training, team colors, even do they sit down and eat together?
First, they don't stay in the same building together. I went to a press conference about a week ago where the Canadian coach of the team, Sarah Murray, said that, you know, it's very unusual. The athletes aren't even staying in the same dormitory. So that was implying that there's not a lot of off the ice time for these athletes to bond. Language is a problem, too. The way the two Koreas speak their common language has diverged. And South Koreans use a lot of English words when talking about hockey. The words for pass, the word for goalie. There's a handful of examples. North Koreans don't use them. So they've had to use some sort of a linguistic cheat sheet to, you know, translate from one English with the coach to the way South Koreans talk about hockey to the way North Koreans talk about hockey. So there's really been a slew of complications in forming this unified team.
What about the cost, Jason? Who's paying for the North Koreans to come and play?
Well, that's a big debate happening right now here, Marco, and the South Korean National Assembly is set to debate this. North Korea seems to want the South to foot the bill, and now South Korea is deciding whether or not to pony up. The guy that I spoke to today while watching the game, Lee Sang-yoon, you know, he told me his thoughts on that.
It's like a sort of an investment, but very risky investment, because we never know how North always responds. They may, you know, test their nuke after the games, and so. But still, I think we have to do something if we wanted to risk. I mean, we minimize the risk generated by the North Koreans.
So, Jason, regardless of what this United Korea exercise yields in the near term, has it been useful to have, you know, the events, the Olympics, as a distraction from all the talk of nuclear war?
You know, I think it's something that I feel, as well as many other South Koreans feel, that at the very least, and as perhaps short-lived as it is, tensions have cooled down a lot here. We're not in the same sort of downward spiral that we felt last year. It's still up in the air if the Olympics are going to lead to some kind of sustainable peace. But right now, it's nice that there's some good news coming out of the Korean Peninsula.
Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, I think. Reporter Jason Struther in Seoul, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Marco.